This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, this is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Tonight, what's the best way to communicate problems that you're having with your company?
Ooh. All right, so this comes following recent headlines involving Banama in one of their newsreaders. So first, we discuss how to contest a pay cut or ask for a pay raise and what the best channels are to highlight concerns. And then speaking of channels, when is it okay to take to social media?
Tell us, how do you raise concerns at work? What do you think of posting work complaints on social media? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, voice note us there as well, or tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. All right, it's 6:08, and our story has its roots in something that happened with Bernama recently. So on the 5th of August, Sydney Yap, who's a newsreader for Bernama's Mandarin News program, posted on her Facebook complaining of pay cuts, low wages, and delays in hiring. This followed Bernama's announcement that their Mandarin News programs would only air from Monday to Friday. And Sydney was unhappy about the reduced airtime and essentially took to Facebook to say that staff were forced to accept pay cuts with insignificant increments. She also said that from a team of eight, the Bernama Mandarin News was now down to three people, and concluded the post by saying, "In what may be my last days as a journalist, I want to be as outspoken as possible. How can we speak out in the face of injustice for the public when we can't even do it for ourselves?"
So that's one part of our conversation, or rather two parts in some ways exemplified by that. In other words, okay, so if you've gotten a pay cut, and you're not happy with your team getting leaner and leaner, what do you do? Where do you go? What avenues in your company exist for you to raise that? The second thing is Facebook, or taking to any form of social media in order to highlight this, which is what we've seen, which is why this has been such an interesting case study. So for what it's worth, Bernama, firstly, appeared to have released a statement that saying it would take legal action for alleged defamation, outright dismissing the allegations that employees were subject to pay cuts, also adding that reducing the number of airing days of their Mandarin programming was because of staff issues. But after that came out, there was a lot of backlash, including by people saying, well, this feels like a stifling of media freedoms and so on. Bernama CEO Roslan Arifin did come out then to clarify, saying they won't be taking legal action. He's hoping instead that they can talk it out mano y mano, and that the circulation from Bernama wasn't a press statement. It was actually an internal report and recommendation from their HR department. He did go on to say, though, why she hadn't raised any complaints during her 3 years with the company, saying it's unfair that she waited until the last day to say anything was wrong, saying that she could have been made a permanent staff member if she had worked at Bernama for 5 years. Over 70 Bernama TV employees have had that. And also denied her allegations that they have a 45 working day waiting period for hiring and that news reading fees were slashed. So that's the background. But really what we were hoping to do is use it, like I said, as a case study or a jumping off point to talk about the fact that in some ways, accepting the public figures and large companies involved, some of this is stuff that happens really in every company at some point. The need for a pay cut, the need to make decisions about staffing that the staff in question might not be happy about, and how you talk it out. I think that there are a lot of lessons, or there's a lot of aspects to be discussed in that.
Oh, I don't think most of us actually know how to ask for a pay raise or talk about a pay cut, right?
Contest a pay cut, yeah.
And also, I think, as you said, this is something that actually happens a lot in most companies, and I dare say in the last couple of years, perhaps even more of a reality. The other half of this conversation is actually also something that we're seeing happen in increasing amount. People taking to social media and talking about the grouses they may have with their workplace. Whether they name the company or not varies depending, but yes, this is definitely something we see.
And thanks to LinkedIn, it's not hard to figure out where people work, even if they don't name the company.
So, I mean, it is actually, I think, a conversation that is worth having, right? How do you raise these concerns? And when is it okay to go to social media?
Yeah, because traditional wisdom, conventional wisdom would dictate that going to social media is never good. It's not even a last resort. It just shouldn't be done. When I first started work, I know that that was certainly something that was drummed into me. And yet, increasingly, as we see entire accounts emerge as a reaction in some ways to this sort of pushback, as a reaction to, well, why can't I talk about it, especially in my what amounts to my private life? I have become intrigued, not so much at raising complaints, but I think at talking about things that are important to you, which for many people is work and pay, and also whether it's always such a bad thing, especially if you make the argument that it is about the raising of awareness.
And because often we see response or action being taken only after it has gone on social media, right? And so that kind of sets this sort of cyclical precedence that only when attention is brought to a problem will the company respond. So a lot to unpack, really. First, we are going to look at that question of how to contest a pay cut, how to discuss a pay raise. And for that, very shortly, we'll be joined by Kanna Tan, a senior HR manager. But in the meantime, let us know, how do you raise concerns at work? When do you think of posting, what do you think of posting work complaints on social media? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp, or voice note us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:14. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we are talking about how to raise concerns at work. First, when it comes to pay raises, pay cuts or pay raises. And then later on, we're going to be looking at the merit or perhaps not, of posting work complaints on social media. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp, or voice note us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We will be speaking quite shortly to Senior HR Manager Kanna Tan and discuss exactly that, really, how to raise work concerns, particularly when it comes to pay cuts or pay raises. But do keep sending your thoughts through. In the meantime, we do have this from Madiha.
Madiha says, I've tried raising concerns about asset misappropriation and I was threatened with verbal abuse and physical harm. I made a complaint through official channels. As a result, I'm now being sent for counselling and marked as a troublemaker by my direct superior, who was a witness to the incident. It's disappointing. Toxic workplace culture leaves us with no way out.
Yeah, see, this is the thing, right? I mean, ideally speaking, workplaces need to have a proper mechanism for raising concerns or issues, and then a sort of assurance that an employee is not going to be targeted for raising concerns.
In almost any workplace, I sound like I'm going to give sage wisdom. That's not the case. In almost any workplace, really what it feels like is you are often asked to raise concerns with your direct superior. And I think that the question then is always, what happens if your direct superior is the one who is the problem? Or in other instances, what happens if your direct superior is the one or is somebody who is not going to take your side on this issue that you know because of a social relationship or a pre-existing history, whatever it may be? And so when you say pathways, I think what is often difficult to contend with is when you have a toxic workplace culture, what do you do with better pathways?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the thing to look at, right? Let's see. We have Munif saying, I usually kick up a fuss in the office WhatsApp group, minus the boss. Start with small complaints, get some guys chiming in, get the ball of complaints rolling until bigger gripes get tossed into the conversation. Then sit back, relax, and watch as the more emotional members of the group lose it and bring the issue to management and the boss themselves. Disruption is caused, messages sent, and you won't be traced as being the source of the pandemonium. If a change policy happens, then great. If not, you're not even at risk of the repercussions anyway. Works like a charm. That is a psychological mastermind move.
Sorry, I'm still sort of processing that. So start with small complaints. Ensure that you get people chiming in and participating. Get the ball rolling and then start inserting and incepting ideas. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And you said incepting, and honestly, that just sounded like inception to me, workception.
No, it is. And also, Munif telling us about it, interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, this is now a public space that we're sharing this sort of masterminding in.
We also have Yap, who says, had a case of either solving an issue faced or leaving the company, went all the way to top guy in HR, nothing was done, didn't bother with social media, took the highway instead.
And so when we talk about brain drain, right, especially we tend to look at it more from the point of view of brain drain in a national sense. But I think that maybe we are not giving enough consideration to what it means for companies, because the same phrase can, of course, apply, right? When we're talking about why people leave, you might have good people leaving for this very reason.
Yeah, I think honestly, this goes back to more companies need a clear and trustable way to have your voice heard. Employees often feel like they can't voice their challenges, and that's really where a lot of this comes from. Now, to get back to the question that started all of this, that issue of how to discuss those difficult conversations around pay cuts, perhaps if you want to talk about a pay raise, we are going to be joined very shortly by Kanathan, who's a senior HR manager. But in the meantime, do keep sending your thoughts through. How do you raise concerns at work? What do you think of posting work complaints on social media? You can call 7733290, WhatsApp or voice note us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us is Kanna Than, Senior HR Manager. Kanna, good to have you with us.
Hi, good evening. Good to be connected with you all again.
So if we first look at the situation between Bernama and Sydney Yap, is it common for conversations around pay cuts to turn into a larger conflict?
Actually, it depends on how the pay cut has been actually initially communicated to all the employees. Because as we all know, talking about money, especially with employees, can be a very sensitive and uncomfortable matter to even be raised, you know. So to me, it's a proper communication should be actually laid out to all the employees prior to taking the measures of pay cuts.
So what happens when an employee disagrees with a pay cut? Can they contest it? Is there room for negotiation here?
Yes, they have the rights, you know, but there's always room for negotiation, yes. Because as I mentioned earlier, it depends on how the employer has actually, you know, communicate with them the purpose of the pay cuts that's being raised. You know, what are the measures taken or why is it necessary, you know, to have this pay cut? So if there's a concern, you know, coming from both employers and employees, right, it's always a good step to actually have a proper discussion first, especially in case like this, right? I think they should have have a table talk, you know, or a confrontation to understand further, you know, what are the concerns and what are the other matters being raised.
So pay cuts are commonly seen as a top-down approach. Should employers involve employees earlier in the process when considering a pay cut?
Yes, definitely. I would say that of course, it's very uncomfortable because it is very common, you know, that it's a top-down approach. However, if an employer, an organization, right, they should actually have a town hall to address the concerns and explain why, you know, the management are taking, you know, considering a pay cut and what are the other measures that could have been taken, you know, to actually discuss and help the employee understand where they are heading and the purpose of, you know, how is this going to help the business to survive. Yeah.
And when a pay cut has to be put in place, are there things that employers can offer to compensate for it?
Actually, it really depends because it all depends on the business, the roles and responsibility, the functions of the individual. So many times when pay cuts are being raised or being informed to the employees or even the individual, the first thing that they would have felt could be, you know, they have been shortchanged. So in order to compensate, sometimes it really depends on the job function. There are some organizations where they do actually shorten their hours, but there are many organizations who does not, you know, they do not do such. Yeah. So normally when they do a pay cut, it's really for whether it's for business sustainability, business survival, you know, or because of reduction of activity. So all these have to be actually explained to the individual to avoid further conflict.
So if we look at that disagreement between Bernama and its presenter, earlier you talked about a number of things, sitting down, having that face-to-face and so on. Now, in Sydney's case, there were attempts to even reach out to Bernama's chairman, Rasadi Baradzi, about her concerns. What options would an employee have once all other steps have been exhausted to resolve an internal conflict?
All right. As what I've read through and what we have heard, yeah, she has already reached out to the chairman. The other options would be, you know, direct superior, the manager in charge, and also the HR department. But if, let's say, you know, all parties are being, doesn't show any concern or, you know, being just like her case, they ignore and avoid meeting the employee, the individual, right? Sometimes the employee will be given no choice. They will actually raise their concern either publicly or they would have gone to the JDK to file their complaints. So this is quite normal, actually. So it's always advisable to handle it with care, you know, to actually sit the employee down. And even though certain measures are needed to be taken for pay cuts, it is very important for the management to actually sit down and actually listen to them rather than just ignore or avoid meeting them.
So what's your take then on the way this was handled? And what is the best practice for a company in communicating with a disgruntled employee, especially when the conflict has gone public?
I would say that the right approach is to actually have to meet the employee, you know, to again, although it has been reported or raised publicly and many have actually heard about it, but to professionally handle this, it, again, I say it has to be handled with care, although the individual may have tendered their resignation. So internally, to sit down and to see what are the other solutions that they can, you know, they can actually take, whether it's going to be beneficial to the individual or not, but it would be a wake-up call or probably a precaution, you know, a caution that the management can actually take to avoid similar case, you know, repeating in the near future.
Now, yeah. During the pandemic, we've heard of many companies having to dock salaries. How should a company balance between necessary austerity measures while also being considerate to their employees?
Okay, during the pandemic, as we all know, for the past 2 years, many organizations have taken very, very drastic measures. So, but before, normally pay cut would not be the first step that they would have taken. Normally, what we will do is other measures would be like getting them to clear off their annual leave, you know, like there are companies who they allow carrying a big numbers of days of annual leave forward, right? So they actually ask to clear their leave, and then if really have no choice, you know, to go on unpaid leave for like shorter work week, you know, and also after that they follow by pay cut. There are different measures to be taken before we actually do the pay cuts. Yeah, and all these have to be communicated very clearly and explained to the employees, you know, in the companies on how long. Normally, it should be explained how long these measures will be taken and what is going to come after. Because even if they cannot do the reduce of work hour due to the work nature, the business nature, then they have to explain very, very clearly and also carefully to the employees. Because I think when it comes to matters like this, it is very important, you know, for an organization to practice certain level of transparency, because I believe employees will also understand, because these are all related back to not just the employers, but the employees on their sustainability.
We have a couple of minutes left with you. In closing, what kind of initiatives can employers take to make the workplace a safe space to actually talk about these issues and resolve conflicts amicably? I think especially considering that for many people and many companies, talking about money is not comfortable.
Okay, yeah. So it is very important for the business, yeah, for the management to actually explain to the organization, to the employees on the business expectation, where are they heading at the moment, you know, what what are the other measures for, are they actually looking at in bringing up more revenue or activities to say? And also, what is the expectation on the respective department? Even there's a reduction of activities or let's say on a shorter work week, you know, have to explain to them why we are actually facing such situation at this point of time and what are the measures that we are looking at to improve, you know, or to build up in the near future. So, talent management is very important. Talent retention is also very important. So where we need to make it, you know, spread awareness also and to let the employee understand that although it is not a very nice, you know, move to take, you know, it's quite drastic to even go on pay cut. Some can go easily of 50%, 30%, even 20% can be quite heavy for certain people on at their job level. But then as long as they understand, right, that the company cares and also because why they are doing this, with the experience that I have, most of them will actually understand.
Kanna, yeah. Thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me. Have a good evening. Bye.
You too. Thank you. That was Kanna Thun, a senior HR manager, weighing in on how to address this difficult conversation around pay cuts with your workplace. And after this, we're going to be looking at your messages, but also then later on talking about this notion of posting about workplace issues on social media. So let us know, how do you raise concerns at work? What do you think of posting work complaints on social media? You can call 7733-2900. WhatsApp or voice note us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:38. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we've been talking about workplaces and how to have difficult conversations. Basically, this has its roots in the headlines around Bernama and news presenter Sydney Yap, whose post on pay cuts and other conflict at work went viral. And so we're using that as a springboard to talk about exactly that. How do you raise concerns at work? What do you think of posting work complaints on social media? Send your thoughts through. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
I'd like to extend the question a bit, right? Because we're asking how you raise concerns at work, but I also want to know if you're feeling up to it, if you could share a story of a time when you did actually raise a complaint at work and how it went. I mean, we've heard from a few people so far, and broadly speaking, not great, with the exception of one WhatsApp rabble rouser who chooses to try to rally the troops to do
Munif.
To do some heavy lifting for him. But I'd like to know, right? Because I think that we can be brave together. you know, knowing how other people do it or hearing of stories where it went well, perhaps would be good. But if it didn't, also share your tale of woe.
That number to call, 7733-2900, WhatsApp or voice note us, 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have to start off with this voice note from Steph.
I think it shouldn't be the first option when it comes to resolving conflict, and of course not with the intention to name and shame the person, but definitely trying to resolve it with the help of HR if the person is open to talking. But I can see why actually some people may choose to do so if they've exhausted all avenues and no one has stepped in to help, especially if it's to raise awareness about things such as harassment, other cases such as that.
So thank you, Steph, firstly. And I believe Steph is essentially responding to the when should you take to social media aspect of the question. And some great points, right? Because where we've seen this sort of highlighting be the most effective is actually when it comes to those issues that companies are slowly learning to contend with. You know, Steph brought up harassment, but also bullying, other sorts of abusive behavior that perhaps speaks to a more toxic culture in that particular workplace.
100%. And I would also like to add on that the first part of your message, Steph, is so crucial. It shouldn't be the first option when it comes to resolving conflict. And I suppose the danger here and the worry always has been that posts on social media, even when they were actually a last resort, are sometimes seen by others as not a last resort. In other words, almost like an encouragement to go, yeah, you know, actually, I have this issue too. I also should pile on, or I would also like to do the same. And I think that there is maybe a propensity here, whether it's because of the walls we put up in the workplace, or whether it's because of the increasing discomfort that a lot of us have to speaking face-to-face, that sometimes there is an avoidance of actually walking up to somebody and saying, okay, this bothers me, here's why. And that's when social media is seen as an option when perhaps it shouldn't be, right? Especially when you still have other avenues to explore.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think that while the impulse to post immediately may be something that's triggered by strong emotions, that it is wiser to try and resolve it in other ways at first. Let's see, we have William saying, well, firstly, you can continue sending us those voice notes or you can call 7733290, WhatsApp or voice note 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And William says, the status quo force is strong in the workplace, coupled with the risks involved to each rice bowl. No one wants to put their neck out to effect change, no matter how positive the intention may be, more so when they aren't the aggrieved party.
So the aggrieved party thing is especially interesting here, because the other part of it, right, is that we recently... We had a message earlier from Madiha, I believe, who said, I tried to raise concerns and the end result is I've been marked as a troublemaker. And that, I think, is something that we haven't yet spoken about. We use the word we use words like raise issues, complaints quite lightly. But the truth is that for many people, the cost of doing so is exactly that, to be labeled as a troublemaker, to be seen in a certain light, and then to have that serve as a way to diminish your credibility. Ah, this one's always a troublemaker. Mm-hmm. You can't really listen to them.
Yeah, and I think that's something we see happen a little too much, I think, which again becomes why people then resort to things like going on social media. Just to close off, we have Keijo on Twitter saying, posting a complaint about your workplace is like posting a complaint about someone you know on social media. Yes, the social media world is very small.
But if it's to raise awareness, I mean, if I am posting about someone I know who is, let's say, a liar, is that so bad if I'm highlighting the value of telling the truth?
I think where Keijo's tweet is useful is in making sure you know what you're doing when you do it.
Yes, 100%. I just thought, you know, Like I said, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool, never-complain-about-your-job-on-social-media person, but I'm now increasingly unsure how much of that is just how I was quote-unquote work-raised and how much of it is what I actually believe. So this is just me unpacking things on air. Join us.
Keep sending those thoughts through. How do you raise concerns at work? What do you think of posting work complaints on social media? And if you have examples of what happened when you did raise those concerns.
Johnny says, When companies opt for staff salary pay cuts, it means that there's a major issue on company revenue not being enough to cover overhead costs. Normally, they can opt for a headcount cut or reduce the workday so that there's less workload. If the employees think that the company is trying to take advantage, then the issue may arise that the HR did not conduct proper communication. Of course, companies need to mitigate whatever business shortfall immediately to improve the situation in the upcoming months.
So, the thing is, I see where you're coming from, Johnny, but I think part of it is also what our earlier guest, Kanna, said, which is that there needs to be proper communication and openness right from the start. If you're talking about a shortfall, then that needs to be communicated to the staff. If there are valid, legitimate reasons why there's going to be a pay cut, then that needs to be communicated to the staff. And often when people feel like they're being shortchanged is when this comes out of nowhere and their feelings or their needs are not taken into account.
We also have Mizi, who says, after close to 40 years of being in the workforce, utopia doesn't exist. If your employer or supervisor is oblivious to your work issues, there's no point calling their attention. It's an extremely dangerous move if you still need the job. I agree with the other listener who hit the highway, look for another job. I disagree with the other listener who wanted to let other staff take action. I was once in a situation when everyone backed off at the last moment, and even the union representative was absent at the collective discussion table. So just just to be clear, I think that I think Munif, who sent the message earlier about letting other people take action, was joking mostly. But Mizi, you raise a number of interesting points, especially that of if your employer or supervisor is oblivious to your work issues, no point calling their attention. I think a lot of people would agree with you. I, however, would like to believe that that's not the case. I recognize that that might be an unrealistic expectation or stand to take, but I think it's also about recognizing the value of the worker, in that if you are hired in a company, presumably you bring value. And if you bring value, there should be a recognition of it, especially in hearing you out if you have work issues.
Well, Boyi has a couple of points that I think might address that in terms of the value of an employee to the company. Boyi says, don't post any issues at your workplace on social media. It needs more solutions than attention. It's unprofessional and will spread emotional instability. Plus, it may backfire on you by giving a bad perspective of you to your possible future employers. Work hard, take care of your clients sincerely until they become your supporters, and then your competitors today might offer you a better pay. Your boss, not a leader, will lose good employees and possibly clients. This, for me, is the best way. If we burukkan the boss or the company, we might also disturb our good office mates and the way they work. So email your resume to your competitors and BCC your boss. So that last line aside, what I'm getting from your message, Boyi, is that often, basically exactly that, right? When you don't take care of your employees, you're likely to lose them. You're likely to lose them because they're constantly looking for avenues within which they can be treated better elsewhere.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a pretty strong layout of how it can go, right? Mm-hmm. That's basically a guidebook, really, in terms of how this could function. I'd like to pose another question, actually, and this is in relation to the point that's being brought up by both Mizi and Boyi about there's no point trying to raise an issue if, you know, instead better yourself and then look elsewhere. I'm curious if everybody agrees with that point of view. You know, whether you think, because the whole premise of raising a complaint is to make something better for yourself, but it's also often to make the whole workplace better. Presumably, a lot of people come at it from that point of view, right? It's to make the whole workplace a better working space for everybody. Do you feel it's worth it? Or, you know, when it comes to jobs, are you of the opinion that it's just a bad fit and that's fine? Just go.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one, right? And it might come down to, are you in a position to take that stand?
Yes, yes,
right?
Exactly.
And that is a tough question. And I don't think it's also easy for one person to make that decision for someone else. But I think if you are able to, or if you're able to extend your support to another colleague who is standing up for themselves and others, that's something to think about. We're getting a bunch of messages on posting on social media. So just to close off, at least on this side of things, I thought of, let's see. We have this from Shar, who says, posting work complaints on social media is a double-edged sword. I guess it's not a definite no, but it really does need to be justified. It could go either way and sometimes to the extreme end. For my workplace, our direct managers will be checking in with us regularly. Any concerns will be raised to the direct manager before it's escalated to the country leader or HR. I've brought up my concerns before to my manager, and it was discussed in a constructive manner. The culture of the workplace matters. How top managers and middle managers react to concerns will influence how feedback is raised.
So we're going to be talking more about social media after the 7 o'clock news, actually, together with the people who run, or with the person rather, who runs the Malaysian Pay Gap Instagram page. So keep those thoughts coming.
Yes, so you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's 7:08. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn, and we're now continuing our conversation about raising concerns about the workplace. So earlier, we heard from an HR manager who talked about how to have that difficult conversation about why you've been given a pay cut. And now we're going to address the other aspect of the story, which is, when is it okay to take to social media? And so we'd like to hear from you on both aspects, really. How do you raise concerns in the workplace? When do you think it's okay to post about your work complaints on social media. You can call us 7733290, WhatsApp or voice note 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us on the line is Pristine Dave Kaur, creator and founder of Malaysian Pay Gap, which is an online platform that allows anyone to share and compare salaries anonymously. Pristine, thanks for speaking with us today. So to start off with, tell us about Malaysian Pay Gap. Why was it important to you to create this space to discuss these issues?
I guess it's very important for me to create such a space to discuss these kind of issues, because the more you talk about it and the more you provide a platform that's very open for everyone to just contribute their story, the less fearful they will feel regarding this kind of topic.
And what sorts of stories and themes were predominantly coming through on the page?
I think there are certainly a few common themes that we keep coming across. One of it would be people, like fresh graduate, people who are very fresh to the working world, they often do not know what kind of labor rights they have. So a lot of time, they would be exploited just because they didn't read the contract properly, or they didn't know that they actually have negotiation power when the company is drafting an agreement. So if you don't agree to something, you can just voice it out before you sign on something. But oftentimes they sign on something and then that's when they realize that, oh, I don't agree with that. And how can I escape from that? Another one would be people are very fearful to, how do I put this? Like, we just keep receiving a lot of messages that are very fear-based. People who are very uncertain about how things are because they are being kept in the dark.
So what are your thoughts on using your personal social media accounts to bring up work issues?
I certainly think that when we have to use our personal social media account to bring up issues like this, it reflects on how, like, what other platforms are available for us to use. If we don't trust the media, we won't go to the media. But by right, when something like this happens, you should be able to have full confidence to just report or share the story to media so that they will make it public enough for change to happen, right? But we don't have that. So that's why, like, people have to resort to their own personal social media account to do it. But then at the same time, the effectiveness is not there if you only use your own personal account, because how many people can you reach with your own account?
So if we can continue that, right? Because as you said, sometimes people feel they just don't have a choice. And there's no real guidebook really on what you can and can't do. But what would your thought process be before utilizing social media as a means to raise awareness on workplace issues?
I think with social media, one has to be very careful about the information that they put out there. With social media, everything, like the nature of social media, is very quick. So when you glance to something, you thought that you received that truth of it, but actually it's not. So with social media, it's very easy for people to just speculate rumors or just like one part of the truth. So when one has to use social media to discuss or raise awareness on issues pertaining to the workplace, definitely have to do some research to make sure that not only the stand is neutral, but then it's supported by a lot of factors for people to consider. I find that when you expose a person to multiple perspectives, it's easier for them to use the information to judge whether that is right or wrong, or whether there is like more improvement to make. Like when you have something that you want to express, like you know your truth, right? But other people have no idea. So you need to provide full context and make sure that everyone has all the information to make the judgment call.
So often there are clauses in contracts that prohibit people from discussing their salaries. What's your take on this, especially considering the forum you run?
So I actually find it sad that there are clauses like in contract that are prohibiting people from discussing salaries. That's why what we have been doing is that everyone has to stay anonymous. But when everyone is staying anonymous, sometimes it's very hard to hold a person accountable or very hard to prove that the truth that they are sharing is actually legit. So I guess I really hope that eventually, like I hope that in the next 10 years, we can drop the anonymity nature of discussing wages.
In the meantime, how do you think companies can and should better respond to employees or former employees who use social media to speak up?
when their staff have to use social media to speak up, that's because the trust or the power distance between the employee and the employer is way too far. So they don't feel like if they bring it up to the management, it's going to get resolved. So definitely for internal culture, best to build a culture that's very welcoming and accepting of criticism. Because after all, the workplace, it like in this lifetime, we haven't spent so many years in the workplace. So how happy we feel in the workplace, sometimes it correlates to how happy we feel in life. So it's very important for top management to realize that too. I think I've been listening to BFM radio, and I know that you guys discuss a lot of topics surrounding workplace. And then I think that's really good, because if you want a culture to adopt new tradition or new beliefs, you need to have enough people to talk about it. So the best is to do, like, I really hope to see that everyone in the society will find their own ways to talk about any issues relating to workplace.
Pristine, thanks for speaking with us. That was Pristine Devko, creator and founder of the Malaysian Pay Gap, a Twitter and Instagram account where people can anonymously share their salaries. Let us know, how do you raise concerns when it comes to your workplace? When do you think it's okay to take to social media? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, voice note us there as well. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, and we'll get to your messages after this. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:17. You're listening to the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And we've been talking about a number of things throughout the course of the show. But first, on Inside Story, we were discussing bringing up challenges in the workplace and when to take to social media. Do keep sending your thoughts through. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on that point about when it's okay to take to social media, we do have differing opinions, falling neatly, I think, on each side of the camp. Let's start with some people who I think are more kind of pro the idea or think that there are merits to it.
So Madiha says, so far, social media has been the only thing that works for us. See the recent hoo-ha about the banning of food delivery in a hospital. Clearly, it's either make it viral or quit the system, which is why so many have decided to leave. There is just no middle ground. Meanwhile, Nish says, about 8 years ago, half of the staff, including myself, were let go without any warning. Our severance pay was withheld. Only after the press picked it up did they finally pay what's due after 2 months. Prior complaints to HR and the CEO fell on deaf ears.
Yeah, so this goes back to something I think we talked about at the start of the show, right? That often problems are only attended to when publicity is given to those problems, which makes staff feel like there is no point in raising an internal complaint if you're not going to listen to me anyway. I might as well put it on social media and hopefully that will force you to do something.
Of course, the flip side of that is people will say, then you should leave.
Yes.
Which is what we've been getting, right? Mm-hmm. That appears to be very much the theme here. It's a push and pull between, this is not working for me, I want to improve it, that is why I've taken to social media. And others saying, well, this is not working for me, and the company is never going to change, therefore I left.
So it's the part about, is the company ever going to change? That's the... Because the assumption is that by raising these, you can make a change. But I think it really depends on where you stand on whether that's possible.
Yeah, and the other part of it was something that a number of people have already brought up, which is whether or not you can afford to make this kind of fuss.
Yes.
And the cost that can bring to you. We also have... So a trio of messages not in favor at all of social media. Benjamin says, it's unprofessional to air your work issues on social media, no matter the issue. You only put yourself in a bad light. Whatever you put on the net will be out of your control. It will remain there forever. Anyone looking up your name to reference your character will find these stories and make their own assumptions. Take professional action, including legal if you have to, but airing them online is not the solution. The bottom line, when you have issues, face it, don't Facebook it.
Well, Hakim says, I never complain about anything on social media. I had a boss that would often write, but I had a boss that would often write on her social media comments and complain in general. I know it's not about me, but I couldn't help but be nervous. At last, I clicked the unfollow button and lived peacefully.
Oh, Hakim, this is an entirely separate conversation about social media and bosses, because there, I think it's hard to find a standard code of conduct here. But I think a lot of people feel pretty strongly about things one way or the next, either that they don't want to follow their boss at all or have their boss follow them for obvious reasons, and for reasons that are more subtle, including this, while others are okay with it, maybe in a controlled setting also. I mean, earlier on in our show, we were talking about LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So maybe on LinkedIn, it's acceptable, but not elsewhere.
Well, Wendy says, I'm very cautious about posting work complaints on social media. You can get labeled as a troublemaker. My current workplace also made every employee sign an acknowledgement of adverse consequence if we post work complaints. I've not personally had to do that, but I have heard of companies implementing this.
Can I posit something? Is this a generational divide? This idea of being able to or taking to social media even as a last resort? Because at the moment, and it's not just Benjamin, Hakim and Wendy, there were a lot of other thoughts that came in earlier on in our show. We've been talking about this now this evening, you know, for most of the evening. And the people who are not pro-social media are very not pro-social media. It's just seen as something that is not even an option. It's unimaginable. Whereas the people who are more comfortable with it are the ones who are saying, well, no, I mean, sometimes there's really no other avenue. And because I don't know anyone's ages, I'm just hazarding a guess. I wonder if it's a generational thing.
I mean, I suspect so. I think if you're a generation raised on social media and quite comfortable with navigating that space, and in fact even use it to work through your own feelings, and perhaps the bulk of your even interaction and education takes place, social education,
yes,
takes place there, I think you might be a lot more comfortable with it.
And then maybe this is just an inevitability. So I wonder how long the thing of, because of course in workspaces, we're also taught generationally, right? We're each managed by a generation of manager who's probably a few decades or maybe years older than us in a company, and therefore enshrined or kind of ensconced in a certain way of thinking as well. So I don't know how long more we're going to have this passed down of no social media, never social media, versus maybe an increasing openness to it. I'm not sure.
Keep those thoughts coming. If you'd like to weigh in on any of the topics that we've been discussing today, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After the 7:30 news on popcorn culture, we're going to be talking about how your tastes might have changed in terms of what you watch. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.